it's hard for us to relive the enormity of this Council of Jerusalem, and that you don't have to be circumcised as a male to become part of God's people. Up to that point, that was the sign. And now, no. And this is a 1,000-year-old tradition, a law in God's people. And now it's not, because of the Holy Spirit. And it was, you know, finally, there'll be this council. And the Holy Spirit had to guide that in order for this to be understood. It's profound. And that the church got through this wouldn't be a Catholic church. It wouldn't be a universal church if it was just Jews who believed. And so it's very important. And now they're going to start the council, the first council, when they're going to discuss all this. And as you'll see, tune in tomorrow, and you'll have this text. And finally, James stands up. Now, Peter was the Pope, right? But the person who sort of clinched this was James. That'll be tomorrow. But you see, this is the readings, the first reading, is also then, you see, about the life of the risen Christ in the church. And this life of Christ in the church coming to these revolutionary. This is a 1,000-year-old marker for those who believe correctly in the one true God. And now you don't need it. How hard that was for some to get. And so these fellows get together and they pray. And the Holy Spirit finally says, no, you don't need that. And it's this is the way the Lord guides the church. We had a council. All of you here are old enough to remember that we had one, even if you don't remember much about it. But it was when the church shook itself free from all the false philosophies that were burgeoning in Europe and proclaimed the gospel. And it was John the 23rd who got this going. A mystic. He didn't look like a mystic. He was a big fat fella. I remember I was at the bottom of St. Peter's at the Passade the night he was elected. And we had to wait and wait and wait. Because he was short and fat. So he couldn't wear the ones that were wide enough for him because they were too long. And he couldn't wear the ones that were short enough for him because they were too small. So they were back in there trying to sew something up so they could get the Pope out there. We're a very human institution, I guess you realize that. But when he stepped out there, Habemus Papa, Giovanni Battista Cardinale Roncalli, and he stepped out, and he just went like this, and almost 200,000 people just cracked up, laughed and cried and clapped. Not only do we have a pope, but they already perceived the presence of Christ in this man. And I can still remember. And then, as we were leaving, the first paper to have all the news. Because if we were leaving this thing, the newspapers were already there. Well, Italiani, you know, they know how to do this kind of stuff. But the first paper out was the communist paper, with a big photograph of Roncalli on the front page. And then all this, because what are they looking at? How good is he going to be for the workers? Does he really, you know? And he was fine. Anyway, so tomorrow we'll have this ground, you know, earth-shaking decision. The males do not have to be circumcised in order to belong to the body of Christ. This reverses a thousand-year tradition. And so, now, the gospel. As the Father loves me, so also I love you. Well, what kind of a love is that? It's infinite. And it's totally, the Father loves so much that he generates this Son from all eternity, who proceeds from the Father. And now he says, as the Father loves me, that's the way I love you. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Now, remain in my love. Okay, let's do that now. How are we going to remain in his love? Well, we've got to meditate a lot. Well, you do. But that's not what he says, is it? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. All the way through this part of John, the relationship between the Father and the Son is the model for the relationship between Jesus and his church. That means he loves us as the Father loves him. And he says it, you see? And so I've told you this, about if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. You won't have any problem. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. So it's very important to know what Jesus is commanding and to do it. Well, we got the general. Yeah, we got the Ten Commandments. But we're getting ready for Pentecost, which was when we celebrate how the Holy Spirit of Jesus guides the church. That means it's the Holy Spirit who moves us to love, to forgive, to preach. And he's saying, you see, that if you do that, you see, I'm telling you, keep my commandments and you'll remain in my love. Well, you know, there's the commandments of every day. It's the Spirit moving us all day long. And it's so important to hear him and to obey him. Listen. And that's, you see, that's the definition of a disciple. And I've told you this so that my joy might be in you. My joy. Well, what kind of joy does Jesus have? Well, he has infinite joy as God, proceeding from the Father from all eternity, gazing back at the Father who begot him, and they're totally equal, and they meet in the Holy Spirit. That's his joy. And he says, I'll give it to you. You see, if you keep my commandments, then I can guide your life and bring you to have that kind of joy. And then my joy is in you You see? And then your joy is complete. I remember there was a woman, she's gone to the Lord now, down in Virginia. She lived in a wheelchair. But she had a reputation of being very holy. And the bishop, you know, like bishops are supposed to do. I wonder if she's really, if the people are getting too excited about this. So he called in an expert, Father Marius McAuliffe, an Irish Franciscan, whom I knew, who was a mystic and had done his doctorate on that sort of stuff too. So they called him in. He went and talked with her. I've told you some of this story before, right? But it's so amazing. Here's this guy known, you know, for being a great holy mystic and a director of mystics, and you know. And he goes to talk to this woman. So he's going to try to check her out against John of the Cross or something. He just talked to her. And then he went out and he said in his best Irish accent, it's genuine. They said, how do you know? That joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. She's suffering. She's in a wheelchair. But she's happy. She has joy. And that's the joy that the Lord has said here. Keep my commandments. She did that. I've told you that so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. That is the infallible sign of a Christian. So we're getting ready for Pentecost, right? And we should pray for the whole church. Pray that we obey, that we trust the Lord, and that the people know us by our joy. Because that's the best way to preach. I mean, if you're really a happy person, and not sort of a, you know, devout, but people will say, what the heck makes that fella tick, or that woman tick? You know? And then you could tell them, it's Jesus.